Thanks for tuning in. I'm Bill Radke. I'm in Seattle, Washington, 3 billion light years away in outer space. There's some mystery object or something sending signals that scientists on Earth have detected. Radio waves blasting out from this unknown source. Are aliens messaging us? Or is there another explanation? Reporter Alan Boyle covers space science for the tech news site GeekWire. Great to see you, Alan.
Great to see you. Yeah.
First of all, how common is that for scientists to pick up radio waves from space?
Well, it's actually pretty common, but this is a special case. They call it FRB 121102, discovered in 2012. And the special thing about this one is that it has been doing this repeatedly. And so, spoiler alert, it's probably not aliens, but people are trying to figure out, you know, what is this source? It has to be a pretty energetic source.
Well, if in terms even I can understand, what do you mean, FRB? What's happening?
FRB, it just means that there's a source. It's some sort of star or something that is sending out blasts of radio waves that are being picked up by radio telescopes. And it can come maybe 15 blasts at a time, and then you wait a while, maybe a few months, and then it does it again. And so that's the mystery. There's only one source that scientists have found that does this sort of behavior. And so they're trying to figure out what is it that's special about this thing. And for a while, there were scientists who were saying, well, maybe it's some alien civilization that is using this bursting behavior to propel light sails across the galaxy, you know, like in Star Wars.
I like that.
Yeah, that sounds pretty
cool. What happened to that theory?
Well, it's very, very unlikely. It's more likely that it has something to do with powerful magnetic fields and neutron stars. They're very dense stars. If they're spinning, they can whip up a very strong magnetic field, kind of like a particle accelerator, hundreds or thousands of times more powerful than whatever we can do on Earth. And so the news about this source is that they analyzed some of these fast bursts from late 2016 and found that there were magnetic twists to the photons that were sent out by these bursts. And so they're saying, well, there must be something with a really strong magnetic field doing that. And that helps them kind of narrow in on this hypothesis that it's a neutron star. And maybe not just any neutron star, but a neutron star that's interacting with a black hole that's nearby. And so
do neutron stars and black holes usually interact with each other?
Well, we haven't really seen firm evidence of that yet. That's something that the LIGO Observatory that looks for gravitational waves is definitely looking for. And there are some scientists who are saying that this meshes with what they expect the behavior to be. In fact, I was talking with one researcher, Jan Levin from Barnard College, who recently did a documentary on black holes called Black Hole Apocalypse. And this is exactly what she studies, is the whole idea that you can have a black hole battery, something that interacts with a magnetic neutron star and builds up just a huge amount of power and then releases it every once in a while when the battery gets overloaded. And so that's a good hypothesis for what's going on here. They don't know for sure what it is, but I have a feeling that as LIGO gets on the case and as they study this fast radio burst source more and more, they'll probably be zeroing in on that weird behavior, you know, something else for the menagerie of weird things in the cosmos.
I'm leaning toward the black hole battery thing myself.
Not aliens? I'm amazed.
Well, this is what I want to know, Alan, because I'm not a space science reporter, much less a scientist. Why should any of this matter to me except the not aliens part? That part I get. But why does this matter?
That is a question you often come across. And on one level, it's, it's the wonder of this, just understanding how nature works. I suppose if you were trying to get a government grant to do this, you might try to wave your hands and say something about how, well, maybe we could harness an energy source like this, or maybe there's some way we can create a mini black hole battery.
Work clean really, energy all, jobs in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. Jobs.
STEM. Say something about STEM education. That doesn't
but matter. Really, it's all about the wonder and just understanding the strong physical forces that are at work in the cosmos that surrounds us.
Well, that's cool, which I still want to know, based on your years of space science reporting, do you think extraterrestrials are trying to contact us or fly in our airspace in disk, flashing lights?
Flying airspace in disk idea.
I always thought it was nice of the aliens to use flashing lights, like our airplanes do, so we won't run into flying saucers.
Right.
No, I'm sorry. What do you think?
The distances are so vast that I think it's very unlikely that anyone, you know, driving a flying saucer is going to get here anytime soon.
Okay.
But I do think that that would be kind of a natural impulse for people to seek out other civilizations, just like on Star Trek.
Okay, you're a flying saucer skeptic. What about the pulses? What do you think the odds are that it? Because we look for it, right? Actual scientists listen for these communications. Do you think there are any coming, or are you a skeptic about that?
I am a skeptic. It's going to have to be pretty firm evidence to convince me. I don't think it's these fast radio bursts. I think we're going to have to look for something else. And in fact, there are lots of discussions about what are the signs that a civilization gives off. Just in the past few days, there was a new study saying, hey, maybe we should look for signs of global warming. If a planet suddenly grows hotter, maybe that indicates that they're generating more energy and facing the same problems that we're going to face in the decades ahead.
Uh-huh.
So look for bad behavior by the aliens.
But doesn't it seem like we keep looking for stuff that, of course, we would recognize?
That's the whole point, is that the search for other civilizations reflects the state of our own civilization.
Yes. Let's talk about the space objects that we don't want to see.
Right.
Why is a Chinese space lab hurtling uncontrolled toward Earth?
Well, first of all, everything that goes up must come down if it's in Earth orbit. Its orbit has to be boosted periodically. That's what happens with the International Space Station, is that they give it a boost every once in a while. Because even if you're traveling hundreds of miles above the Earth, there's enough atmospheric drag to pull stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the case of this Chinese space lab called Tiangong, the drag has been working on this, and the plan was for it to make a controlled descent into the Pacific, as was the case with the Mir space station. But in March 2016, they kind of lost control of it. It's not clear how much control the Chinese have. The Chinese say that they can bring it down in a controlled manner and take it down over the Pacific.
How do you do that if it's
well, you
dead?
Just do the thrusters to push it down at a given time. Now,
Got working thrusters on it.
It's got working thrusters, but there's a lot of maybes involved here because the Chinese aren't very forthcoming about just how much control they have over it. They say they have control. There's a group called the Interagency Debris Coordination Committee, believe it or not, that is in
charge to know that.
Of these sorts of things. Yeah, and they say that they have to assume that it's going to be uncontrolled. And so they're watching it very closely. And they have laid out what the plan is going to be. They say they won't know exactly where it's going to come down until a day before. But because of the object's orbit, I'm glad to tell you that Seattle is safe, that we don't have to worry about it personally in Seattle.
How do you know that let's say it is completely uncontrolled, unlike what the Chinese are saying? Why would you know that an uncontrolled 19,000-pound thing is not coming to Seattle?
Right. It's because of basic physics, orbital mechanics, that this object goes in an orbit at a specific inclination that never passes over Seattle. Seattle is at latitude 47 degrees, and this object never gets any higher up in latitude than 43 degrees.
Okay. I also love non-Seattleites. So what about other places where there are people?
Well,
Portland
is okay. Eugene is okay. San Francisco might have to worry a little bit. So
really, but how much should anybody worry? How much should San Francisco or anyone else
not
worry?
A whole lot. It shouldn't be anything that keeps you up late at night, because it's something like a million times less likely than being struck by lightning that anyone would be struck by debris. And when we talk about even a 60-ton object that would be coming down, it's not going to be one big 60-ton object by the time it gets to the surface. A lot of it is going to burn up in the atmosphere. That's what happens with
most of
the space debris.
Yeah.
There might be some parts that do survive just based on past instances of this sort of thing. And so the one thing that you don't want to do is, if you see some sort of space debris coming down in your neighborhood, tell the authorities, but definitely don't go poking around in it, because it might be contaminated with hydrazine propellant. It's very nasty. So
you see something that might be space debris or a car fender.
Yeah, from space.
Don't
Elon Musk's car, for example.
Don't touch it. Tell the authorities.
Exactly.
Okay.
News
you can use. So we're gonna have one day of notice. And probably it's going to be fine.
Right.
But what would you do if you found out that, I know it's, you said not Seattle, but I'm just wondering, hey, you have one day and probably it's not going to land on your head, but who knows? What do you do?
I would say don't worry about it. It's not that big of a deal.
All right.
But, and it's going to come down sometime between mid-March and mid-April. So whatever you do, you got some time to plan.
Okay. Which reminds me, we were just talking about what would you do if you got the Hawaii text about the false missile alert. What would you have done? My guest was saying, go to the beach and enjoy the view.
I definitely wouldn't just go out to the beach and wait for the world to end. I would try to take shelter because, if it's a direct blast, you're done for sure, but it's probably not going to be a direct blast. And so you want to protect yourself from the fallout or all those things that people talked about during the Cold War of duck and cover and, find shelter.
Let's say you're in Hawaii, Alan Boyle, and you hear...
The U.S. Pacific Command has detected a missile threat to Hawaii.
And you do what?
Well, I would try to find the best shelter that I could. For example, I was at a hotel in Hawaii a day before this happened, so I would try to seek out the hotel managers and find out where their best shelter for this sort of thing would be and go there, and definitely not head out to the beach.
You wouldn't use your contacts to get launched into space, because if you're up in space, you're probably safer than anyone, and you could probably pull it off.
That sounds like a movie.
You're Alan Boyle.
Movie, yeah.
Alan Boyle, space science reporter. He knows a lot of stuff about this, and he reports for the tech news site GeekWire, and we just love to have you. Thanks for coming in.
Glad to be here.
It's it for The Record today, a show put together by Amin Al-Sadi, Ajua Jimabrempong, Bon Huberman, Jason Pagano. I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Join us on Twitter at KUOW.